Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Aaron Boyer. We're talking about U.S. beef into the European Union in just a moment.
Register now for the 24th annual No-Till on the Plains Winter Conference, January the 28th and 29th in Wichita, Kansas. This year featured speakers include Dr. Daphne Miller, Jason Mock, Steve Groff, and Lauren Steinlegie. Pre-conference events include Fundamentals of Soil Health Workshops and Advanced Symposium with John Kemp and Michael Phillips. Visit www.notill.org for all of the details.
Let's eat better, let's eat healthier, and let's find simpler ways to do it. Make swaps while you shop, like whole grain bread over white bread. Use crock pots for easier dinners, and let your kids pitch in to make mealtime more fun. Together, we can all take simple steps to eat better and fill half our plates with fruits and veggies. Let's make every breakfast, lunch, and dinner a healthy winner. Get started today with tasty, healthy recipes at shapeyourfutureok.com. A program of TSET.
The deal with Japan as we brought in the new year puts U.S. beef on the same level as beef coming from other countries that are importing into Japan. But we've also got a deal that started January 1st that's good news for U.S. beef headed for the European Union. Of course, this is the quota that was initially set up for the United States in return for us basically stopping the imposition of tariffs against the European Union because of their failure to allow our beef into the EU over their phony hormone ban for years and years. This battle over U.S. beef into the European Union, stretching all the way back to the 1980s and the old GATT, and carried over into the WTO. When it was first established, the United States was actually using most of the quota for themselves. However, at the time it was established, it was not a U.S. exclusive quota. Over the years, other beef producers have seen the opportunity to sell into the European Union, have met the standards, and have taken quota away from the United States. Now, this new deal between the Trump administration and the European Union means at least a portion of the quota will be exclusively U.S. Aaron Boyer says it's a guaranteed quota for U.S. beef into the EU.
Yes, absolutely. It is a very important market. As you suggested, it is a niche market, but critical, high value, lots of growth potential now with this agreement. And certainly for our niche and NHTC beef producers. And so, yes, we're looking at a U.S.-specific share of this quota. It starts at 18,500 tons this calendar year, and it grows to 35,000 tons over the 7 years. And so that is out of a total of 45,000 tons, which had been increasingly dominated by our competitors. We were squeezed down to, you know, close to 20% market share, and it was not a sustainable agreement. And so fortunately, USTR, European Commission, did reach agreement to give us a U.S. share. And this U.S.-specific share essentially allows us to grow by about 25% here in year one and another 25% next year because it jumps to 23,000 tons in 2021. So really exciting for U.S. beef producers and for our customers in Europe who have been just chomping at the bit to do more with U.S. beef. But it was not really possible when you have to clear product in the first couple of weeks of each quarter because this quota operates quarterly and it was getting fully used within the first couple of weeks of each quarter. And so you're trying to manage chilled high value products in that European market, whether you're a chef or a retailer. You need that consistent supply. And you can imagine on this side, trying to produce NHTC, so program cattle, from the feedlot all the way through the plant, making sure that ship lands in Rotterdam within the first couple of really days of each quarter is kind of a nightmare. So now you have some continuity, business continuity, and our staff on the ground in Europe will be able to plow into new markets where we just basically hadn't touched because we couldn't really grow. So yeah, super exciting.
One last question, Aaron, and that has to do with you alluded to maybe our true success story, the shining star when it comes to beef exports. What do you think for 2020 for South Korea? Are we going to continue to see some growth?
Yes, South Korea. I've called my model market for a few years now. It's just been fantastic and so exciting for us to watch because it's been, you know, it was a difficult battle back for a while. If you recall, candlelight vigils in the street against U.S. beef, lots of hurdles to come back after BSE overlaid with the free trade agreement and a lot of politicalization of U.S. beef. And so, you know, huge kudos to our team in Korea led by Ji Hae-ying. They've just worked amazingly. Of course, economic growth and the trends to crave and appreciate protein as a healthy food source have also underpinned a lot of our growth. And then more recently, the convenience trend, which has just been amazing. I mean, you pretty much have to see it to fully fathom. But the home meal replacement products, which unlike what we really think of, they actually do include a lot of protein and even U.S. beef, particularly U.S. pork, but even U.S. beef. And then on the restaurant side, the restaurant sector in Korea has gotten hit somewhat because there's been this change in the working hours and really whole lifestyle change where instead of working until 8 p.m. and going out to eat with your coworkers, you now go home at 5 or 6 p.m. And that's also underpinned convenience where I grab something on my way home or I order the delivery or whatever it is. But On the retail side or on the food service side for beef, we've still excelled. So there's been a development of kind of family style steakhouses as well as the traditional Korean rib houses. And you see features of choice U.S. beef steak cuts, which we didn't really see in the Korean market just a few years ago, and merchandising some of the chuck items as steak as well. And then priced under, say, a $20 per plate price point. And driving a lot of traffic at lunch and dinner. And the market is just constantly changing. I'm really excited. I'll be there next month and I'll have a better perspective for you then because it's just constantly moving. But of course, the conversion of Costco back to U.S. beef and all of its chilled cases was a huge game changer. And we saw that playing out last year as well as for much of 2018. And so, yeah, a lot of the big boom has probably already happened, and yet you still see that supply advantage versus Australia, because Australia is also the other dominant supplier into South Korea, just as it is into Japan. So I think we do still have room for upward growth again this year. As long as the economy continues to grow, South Koreans could still eat more beef, but honestly, part of it is probably going to be continued growth in U.S. market share. We already account for over a third of total South Korean beef consumption, so we're headed back to where we were pre-BSE. Our office just got the latest polling results showing another uptick in basically Korean consumer acceptance of U.S. beef. So, yeah, it's still looking very positive and just a super dynamic market.
Economist Aaron Boyer with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
Midwest Farm Shows is the longest-running sponsor of our daily Farm and Ranch email and operates the two best farm shows in Oklahoma. This spring is the Oklahoma City Farm Show, April 23rd through the 25th at State Fair Park, and the Tulsa Farm Show returns next November. For more information on the Oklahoma City Farm Show, call a show manager at 507-437-7969. Also, check out our website at oklahomafarmreport.com for details about how you can sign up for our daily farm news email.
And that's your Beef Buzz. Have a great day, everybody. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.